That's a much better track, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, well done, lads. Okay, good.
There was this cool interplay we had going on the tape that I walked in this morning. You know, during the verse, don't. We're,
oh, we're not, I thought when you mentioned it, I thought, I better not do that again, then. I thought that's you know, your normal manner of speaking.
It's funny because it's true.
The take that you walked in on this morning is at 107. This is at 108.
It was just rhythmically. We were doing like, it was like.
Can we go play that, please?
Ron Woods and Keith Richards doing slightly different rhythm things.
Just his little scoop. Right? It's those little scoops. And those little scoops.
And in the F sharp part too, there's a little tiny don't.
I think your first solo is great. Yeah. I think the second solo we could do a little bit better. It's just a little bit reminiscent of the first.
Yeah.
We want to redo your solos on this, or lift the one out of the 107 and see if we can push it into squeeze it.
No, because that was a good one.
That was a great one. Adjusted that. Right?
Actually, if you just keep it at 107, you'll find it just fit exactly.
because you were rushing.
It's taken 10 days to record the basic album tracks. The next step is overdubs, where solos are finessed and fixes are made.
The first time we actually play the song complete is live in the studio here. I mean, people make mistakes, or maybe it's out of tune, or then we change the arrangement, or various things happen like that. Mainly, I'm worried about my sound now. I'm trying to get a sound that I want to hear. When the band was here, you know, get it down, because I don't want to keep them waiting. But usually it's just repair work. It's just you missed a little bit of the riff or something, and you can pop in and just put it back.
Pressure's always pressure when you're in a recording studio, yeah. And we're all feeling it, actually, after 2 weeks rehearsal and 10 days recording. Woo! I'm a bit frazzled. Mind you, that could be the margaritas. Lovely girl. Both of them.
Okay, so Steve's in a mood to play lead guitar.
Oh, fantastic.
So let's put a lead guitar on this puppy. How about that?
All right.
What do you think?
Fantastical.
When you get to the modulation and it starts to really take off, I like it when it gets a little crazy. And you can be repetitive on stuff. You know, there can be moments where you can hang up on a figure or a note and repeat yourself. I think sometimes that's very effective.
Okay. Bob is super kind of cutting to the chase. No more polite, no, nothing. He says, no, you're doing this, and this. It's very much like you. Now do something different, surprise me. In other words, don't play like yourself, is what he was saying. He knows what he's gonna get if he gives me a solo. So yeah, so I'm trying to play not like me. It's harder than it looks, you know?
I think the last bar, maybe, it lost its way a little bit. So when you're going waggy da 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 da, I would have stayed on that for a while and given yourself some runway for a nice big melodic Steve-O ending. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, I could edit it and make it sound like what I wanted, but let's just try and get that section. Last note with okay, we got it.
Hey, I got an idea for the
okay.
But if we use that high note,
yes,
I just use the slide and get a smooth.
Love that. Oh, that's great. I love it even with the squeak. That one. Love the squeak.
Hopefully you can take that out.
Right? No, I love the squeak.
Yeah, no worries.
But there's a big bonk right afterwards.
Oh, the bonk, yeah. Don't worry, the bonk's gone.
I've spent 50 years of my life playing with a twisting motion, which has allowed me to mute the upper strings with my finger and the lower strings with the heel of my hand and sort of create a little arch in there where I could pick the string and let it ring and really have good control and great leverage for jumping across strings, doing string skipping, string arpeggios, and always with the alternate picking. Very intense. But what I did was over the last couple of years, it's gotten to a critical point. Some of the bones have advanced osteoarthritis from playing like this, thousands of notes every day for 50 years. So I'm just kind of dealing with that. It's very painful to practice that way. And so I've been trying to change my technique to this way. And I'm actually, right now, supposed to be wearing, it's like a cast to keep from aggravating anymore. But I can't really play. I don't think I could record very accurately with it. I'm still redoing my technique. And so every day when I go home to practice, I don't practice this way anymore because it just hurts too much. But I practice this way with a real thin pick as long as I can. And then, you know, put the cast on. Then try finger picking like this, and just try to find positions that where I can keep on playing. It's sort of like a huge, huge crossroads in my life, you know. Going from something you really took for granted, you know. I always took for granted I could just play it, and now it's a different deal, you know. Now I gotta adjust.
Yeah. I mean, she's what, 10, 12?
During a night off from recording, Bob thinks he's discovered some future rock stars to one day rival Purple.
So I went to a hockey game, and in Nashville they have music in between periods. And I looked up, it was like this group of little shrimp boats, you know, little kids, you know, that were playing really powerful rock. And the drummer was an 11-year-old girl who was no more than 4'10". This tiny little girl who was just pounding the skins and playing so well.
She's just grooving.
She's just having a great time. She's not thinking at all. After the song, I asked, who are these kids? And they said, well, they're the School of Rock kids. And I said, well, how would you like to bring them to the studio to meet the members of Deep Purple? You got it. That's it.
But no,
there's no but. There's a whole bunch of kids here that want to meet you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Come on. So we set them up with drums, bass, and guitar, and let them play Smoke on the Water for Deep Purple.
If you want extra boost during the solo, okay. Just hit this.
That bass was on the wall. That bass was used on the wall. It's been on Peter Gabriel's first solo record. It's been on Rod Stewart. It's been on Deep Purple, it's been on all kinds of stuff. I love bringing kids into the studio. I like that energy, you know. You're struggling so hard to be great. And then you have these kids come in who are 40 or 50 years your junior. You begin to realize, wow, you know, what we've done all these years is that important. Come on in, guys. That was amazing. Yeah, I mean, we're all giving up right now. This is it. Well, you've successfully ended our careers as of this moment.
Was that really you playing?
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's incredible.
I mean, she's got the right temperament, and she's got a great ear, and for whatever reason, she's actually got technique. I don't get how that works after 3 years on the kit. Like, that's nuts. But the most important thing for her is to keep playing all the time. It's all that we all did. We just played and played and played. And that's the only reason these people got as good as they were, is that the music was everything to them.